The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds! Boom shakalaka laka boom.
Greetings, salutations, and great expectations. You're listening to KCNR.
Well, that was like okay.
Cross between C-3PO and a radio announcer there.
I finally got a little bit of sleep last night,
that's
man.
That's scary.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Today is the 25th of September, 2022. And you're listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, where the hits keep on coming. And when I say the hits keep on coming, I'm not talking about the music. Brought to you by, Luke Pearson Construction, Custom Homes and Excavating. Licensed and bonded, 530-605-9575. Shout out to the guys over there at Big O, Jay and the gang. We've got producer Liam in here this morning, I think.
Well, we do. He just stepped out for a second. Okay. He's actually letting us do our thing.
Okay. I'm here in the great state of Jefferson with my sister Linda. Does all the heavy lifting ball in the scenario of the minimal lobby? It's hard to say that too fast, really fast. I'm just going
to love it. True and a shabba down under pressure?
Are you having problems? You know what I mean?
The Slayer of Snowflakes. She has heard more BS than no BOS meeting.
And it keeps on. Given.
And the kid that rocks around the clock for us for speeding in her neck connects more of having the high speed down, low dead 10 speed black belt, and ram, sorry, never Johnson.
Good morning.
There you go.
Uh-oh. He's drinking, caffeine over there. Watch out.
He's caffeinating him.
It's the big bull can today.
Christian Crank. There you go.
That doesn't sound good. He's got Christian Crank going on over there.
Oh, boy. All right. Where should we get started? We
got all right. Don't forget. I do have a few announcements, yeah, and I think we have one that got left, but I don't see it. Anyway, don't forget, next month is November, and so we have the Veterans Day Parade, and then we have Veterans Day out at Igo Cemetery. The parade's on the 5th in Shasta Lake City at 10 a.m., and then Veterans Day out at Igo is at 11 a.m. And they're going to be putting on ceremonies and having things out there we haven't had for a couple years.
I guess they got the Honeybee Festival going out in Palo Cedro.
They do. Yeah. Today's the last day for that. And we have big bike weekend coming, but Frankie thought that they had left the flyer, but I don't remember the dates. Maybe I'll have that here in a bit.
I guess they go to about 4 o'clock out there in Palo Cedro at the Honeybee Festival. We just were listening to Jefferson State of Mind with Terry Raposa, Wynn Carpenter, and Max Steiner running for Congress. It was an interesting conversation. We might see about getting Max on the program here. I don't know. We'll see what happens. At least the guy's got a little bit of a backbone to actually come into the
studio.
Into the studio, as far as you know. This is known as the violent extremist radio station. I guess you know. I mean, I was watching a video yesterday. MVAs. It's like violent militia, violent MVE. I'm sorry, militia, violent extremist. Now is what the FBI calls anybody who disagrees with the.
Yeah, that's something. Well, we talked about that a while back. Remember, Dave, about the different groups in the what do I want to say? How they're labeling. us well, and going after us. Yeah.
They had that leak that ended up coming up from Project Veritas that ended up showing how the Don't Tread on Me flag, the 3%.
Yeah, if you believe in the America, the Constitution, you have a Gadsden flag or a, you know, Don't Tread on Me, you're obviously a violent extremist, you know.
Well, and meanwhile, that guy that intentionally ran over the 18-year-old is walking out on bail right now.
Right.
I mean...
Yeah.
Everything's so crazy.
Who's
anyway,
the violent extremist?
I did get the information. Thank you in the chat room. Big Bike Weekend is October 8th through the 9th, and it's at the Red Lion Hotel here in Reading. Yeah. And that some of the proceeds of that, I do believe, go to help with the stand down. So.
Well, we might as well start out with our creepy segment.
Oh.
I guess everybody knows what that means. When we talk about weird, creepy, who's the first person that comes to your mind? It's not Hannibal Lecter.
No. he's kind of normal compared to them.
Well, even though you might like him with a side of fava beans.
Oh, shut up. That is so gross. Well, there's always two people that come to my mind. We have Biden and we have Clinton. Just saying.
Yeah, I mean, that's running neck and neck. And
weird, you know, come
creepy.
On.
You know, yeah. But you know, I mean, Bill and Hillary. It's like
they're a tag team there.
I was gonna say it's like the WWF tag team. You know, that's kind of weird. So anyway, we want to play a little short video clip. This is courtesy of Dave, and you know, it kind of maps out why Biden's kind of weird and creepy. You know, he has a gaffe. Oh, it's like a big joke. You know, he said something about she was 12, I was 30, and you know. I can see where that could be taken as a joke, but when you take everything as a whole, let's play the clip, you'll understand why I think, the more I think about it, it's kind of creepy. Here we go. This is from Australia, Sky News. Have we got no sound yet?
Nothing.
Are we ready in there with the clip? I guess we'll have to wait because I don't see Liam at all. He checked out on us. Wait till he comes
back. It's kind of funny. We have to get that kind of stuff all the way across the pond, huh?
Yeah, I guess. I guess what we'll do is we'll come back to that real quick here in a second because I'm sure that we'll be ready here in a second. Let's talk about California Governor Newsom's executive order that bans. Number one, how do you do an executive order that bans gas and diesel power engines? It doesn't have to go through the legislature because we're in an emergency? Even though, like, last week...
They called it off?
Well, see, that's the thing. Who's running the show? Biden goes, well, the emergency's over because, look, everybody's running around without masks and nobody's sick. And
because nobody will comply to our dictatorship.
I guess they missed that, you know. then it's over, right?
Yeah,
except
sure.
Then a day later, everybody, the White House walks it back, and now it's not really over because we don't want to give up our emergency powers. You know, the ones that we'll keep forever because the emergency is going to, well, we're going to find an emergency. There's an emergency every other day. You know,
Right, but aren't they supposed to go by guidelines to call an emergency? I'm just asking. You can't just, you can just say, I think it's an emergency.
You think about it this way. At the same time as they're talking about this, and oh, that emergency is over, you have Mr. Schwab back over there with the World Economic Forum talking about how, well, you see, they locked down for us the first time. So now that when we have a climate emergency, they'll be more likely to lock down for that as well.
It sounds more like Dexter.
I'm waiting for him to, you know, start flapping his wings over there and turn into a bat and fly away or something, you know.
So, but that's the real deal. I mean, you know, it's just like our governor in California. He doesn't want to let go of those emergency powers now.
Blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. Why should he? Nobody's going to force him to. You can't make him. He'll do whatever he wants. And now he's same for Trudeau. It's funny. There's a sort of a theme going on here. It's called tyranny. It's called, government overreach. It's called a lot of things
Would now be a good time to mention that Global World Shapers and both the fact that Gavin Newsom and Justin Trudeau were picked by the World Economic Forum as part of that program?
Oh, come on. That's just conspiracy theory.
And Dan Crenshaw. Surprised Lindsey Graham hasn't slid his way in there somewhere.
Lindsey Graham.
What
a joke that guy is. So we've got, Governor Newsom you know, Gavin the Terrible, you know, banning cars, banning natural
gas cars. You better go.
Well, and he's also banning natural gas.
Yes, I saw that. So, heaters and water heaters.
And, you know, everybody needs to go to electricity because they have such a great power grid in California that, everybody could, depend on, totally depend on electricity for all their needs forever because it, there would never be any rolling blackouts or outages
right.
or, you know, things like that.
Or just shut it off at nilly-willy time or whatever. And
or hey.
And we have to get our parts from China, too, remember?
I don't like
if I remember correctly, so,
I don't like your Gadsden flag or your mouth, so we're shutting off your electricity.
And you better get on the treadmill. I'm just
get
saying.
Get on the treadmill.
Get on the treadmill. Shut up.
There, I hear they're
start
they
running.
I hear they have a sale on those bikes like they have on at Gilligan's Island, you know, where they're running the radio. You know, they that's what they're doing. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's just bizarre.
Yeah. So if automakers have to produce electric vehicles, they have to pay those carbon credits with somebody in the past. You know, I'm sorry. Let me try this again.
I'm going, if automakers,
if automakers have to produce electric cars, they have to pay those carbon credits, which sometimes in the past they were buying from Tesla.
No problem here, right?
And it all gets figured into the price you pay. So who's actually paying for the carbon credits if the producers of the electrical automobiles have to pay back the carbon credits that they stole from or bought from Tesla, but they add it to the price of the automobile? Who's really paying the carbon credits? Oh, and that's not going to raise the prices.
No,
right?
No problem.
It's those evil corporations. Get them. They they're the bad guys.
Of course they are.
And so, you know, it's kind of very disingenuous. Maybe I can get Liam's attention here. I need to get hooked up.
I just can't believe people are going to fall for everything being electric and have no problems. I mean, how crazy is that?
So,
we have problems now, like you were saying, let alone. You know,
so he did sign an executive order on Monday that aims to ban the sale of new internal combustion. Now, you know, where does this guy come up? You know, so he, the legislature, why would you even join the legislature down there? Who cares anymore? There's no legislature. There's only Gavin the Terrible. And I think we got our video. Let's get back to weirdness. That wasn't that wasn't weird what? There. This is weirder. Okay, we're talking
weirder.
Weirder.
I know words. I know the best words.
It's weirder. It's kind of like
I have the greatest words, the best words, the best words out of anybody. They're mine. Okay, that's what it is.
That's not bad. That was not a bad try.
That wasn't bad.
Is
that coming up on your computer? Is it your screen telling you what to say?
All I have to say is loser. All right. So here's Joe Biden. And this is from the Sky News in Australia. Weirdest and creepiest things Joe Biden has said. Now, when I first heard this, I was thinking, oh, it's not that weird and creepy until you start thinking about all the other weird, creepy things besides that that kind of go with it. So here we go. This is Sky News Australia, where they play real news.
Let's kick off here with what might be the weirdest and creepiest thing Joe Biden has ever stood up and said before a crowd. That's a pretty high bar, I grant you, but just have a listen to what the president said to a group of teachers yesterday when he recognized an old friend in the crowd.
Guess what? We got a lot to do. You gotta say hi to me. We go back a long way. She was 12, I was 30, but anyway.
Oh, my God.
This woman helped me get an awful lot done. Any rate.
Wow.
I'm sorry. What? Let's hear that again, just to be sure we all got that right.
Guess what? We got a lot to do. You gotta say hi to me. We go back a long way. She was 12, I was 30, but anyway. This woman helped me get an awful lot done. At any rate.
She was 12. I was 30. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. I'm not sure what the worst thing about that whole episode was. I mean, was it Joe Biden making a gag that would make most people think pedo? Which is a pretty dangerous area for any politician to head into. Not the least someone with his, shall we say, penchant for sniffing the hair of young girls, and whose own daughter is believed to have written a diary said to belong to her, in which she talks about taking, quote, not appropriate showers with her father. Or maybe it was the fact that the audience laughed along with him when he made the crack. Remember, by the way, this was a group of teachers responsible for kids we're talking about here. Or perhaps it was that as the increasingly senescent 2-bit Nero made this speech, the ticker on the bottom of the screen recorded the U.S. share market plunging to a new low for 2022. Whatever the answer is, it is indeed creepy as hell. I mean, this is the guy who in 2019 had to issue a blanket apology to all the girls he'd sniffed before for his inappropriate physical contact and lack of respect for their space. An apology that was, by the way, quickly put on the record and then memory-holed by the media, which was, of course, much more concerned with Donald Trump and his treatment of women. But Joe, in the great tradition of Democrats dating back to Ted Kennedy and beyond, he got a pass. And, of course, this is the same Joe Biden who back in 2014 was accused of swimming naked in front of female Secret Service agents, comprehensively grossing them out. I mean, I know Secret Service agents put their bodies on the line in the course of their duties, but surely seeing a naked, wrinkly Joe Biden's bits flapping in the breeze as he sails off the diving board goes well above and beyond the call. Not that Joe Biden, of course, doesn't have a bit of a history when it comes to swimming pools.
And by the way, you know, I sit on the stand and it get hot. I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
Oh.
Now you can, of course, only imagine the reaction to by the press if a Republican, particularly one named Trump, had made what could have easily been interpreted as a scandalously poor taste joke implying that he was a pedophile or had to apologize for being too handsy with women or had gotten his kid off in front of women in his protective detail, to say nothing of if he had had a daughter who made such revelations in her diaries, which, as with the contents of the Hunter Biden laptop, everyone seems to have agreed are perfectly genuine, but simply not to be discussed in polite company. Of course, this is not the only weird thing the president did this week. Have a look at him here, wandering off, dazed and confused, like a nursing home resident looking for the dessert cart after giving a speech to an outfit called the Global Fund in New York.
Now I'm going to stop it there because the visual is like he's wandering around the stage trying to figure out which way he should go. This isn't the first time either. You know, we've seen him do this several other times, looking for somebody's hand to shake, looking for which way to go, how do you get out of the room, where's the curtain, you know, kind of like stuck behind the curtain on the Johnny Carson show or something. And then the guy tries to reel him in.
I was going to say, did they get a buzzer or something? No, they can, wake him up and handle him?
Well, there's a guy comes to the podium on the other side of the stage and starts talking to him, and we'll play just a little bit of that. He's almost wandering off.
Mr. President, thank you.
Now
at the end of such a momentous event, the word thank you seems kind of inadequate, but for all the millions whose lives will be saved, for the communities where life will be transformed. Thank you. So thank you, President Biden.
So
who is that?
That
talking.
Was somebody at the global, you know, the
oh, okay,
the,
that explains it. Yeah, I'm going, really?
It's the wow. Global fund. Do we have a theme here? We've talked about the, we've got
about
the,
creepiness? Well, about
there's,
sickness?
There's creepiness, there's weirdness, there's a lot of things. I mean, Klaus Schwab, the Dr. Evil, but they all seem to have one thing in common. They want a global government.
Now listen.
They want everything meantime, globalized.
In the meantime, they're suing me. From Open Sources Society and the rest of it, from George Soros, they're suing me. You got Pedo Peter, you got him over here talking about 12-year-old and 30, but they're coming after me. Really? Yeah, yeah. Really?
Yeah, really. They really, really are. They really You're are. Next on the list.
So, okay, we got a few more minutes here, and then our guests are—they've gotten here in the studio, so we'll get to them here in a minute after the break. But I want to play a little bit from Kudlow here, which I don't like. I don't like Larry Kudlow at all. But there will be—this is—he's talking to the World Bank president. Now we've heard this from this same warning coming from Bank of America, from Goldman Sachs, from Jamie Dimon over J.P. Morgan Chase, and now the World Bank president. So do you think maybe they're trying to front run the problem here with the economy? Are we going to make it to the elections? Are we going to make it to the midterms?
I don't know. A lot of them say that we're not going to, that, you know, in the next few weeks.
Interest rates have been going up. So let's hear what they have to say real quick, and then we'll probably have time to get to the break.
All right, so the World Bank is now warning of a global recession next year tied to a worldwide energy crisis. And joining us now to talk about it, President of the World Bank, my friend David Malpass. David, welcome. On set, no less.
Hi, Larry. Terrific. Good to be here.
Terrific. Glad to have you. So you are worried about a world recession, and you think that the energy crisis has a lot to do with it. Just give us a few moments on those thoughts.
Yeah, energy feeds into everything. So there's this sudden cutoff of Russian energy, but also lack of production elsewhere in the world. And so that feeds into fertilizer, into crops, into...
So I want to stop it just for a second. Why don't we have any oil production in America right now? Who stopped?
Because of Creepy Joe.
Who stopped it? Who stopped the oil drilling in the up in Alaska? Who killed the pipeline? Who stopped getting oil from Russia? You know, who stopped everything?
Well, and meanwhile, right now too, you look at this. You have Russia that just ended up calling up as many as 300,000 to 500,000 of their National Guard reserves that are looking to go back out on the field, but he's also very serious about moving ahead with nuclear weapons strategically moving forward.
Well, let's talk about that at another time, because I don't want to get too far off in the weeds, but yeah, I know what you're saying. So let's hear a little bit more of this, and then we'll go from there. I want to talk about the global recession let's just change the name. It's not a recession anymore. You don't have to call it a recession. Oh, maybe it's a depression. Nope. Can't be a depression. No, we don't want to say that because that's
how
worse than a
recession.
How about
just a takeover?
How about we just call it a little flat line on the economic wheel of fortune? You know, I mean, really? So let's what they change.
I mean, we could just do it in music. What's that song? Free Falling.
Okay.
Whoa, okay.
Here we go.
Next year's crops. So the cycle is just very troubling, and there's nothing going on that's going to make it go away very quickly enough.
I know some people will blame Vladimir Putin. I'm not going to mention any names. But my question to you is, wouldn't we have better off just amping up our production of fossil fuels, particularly the LNG exports? I mean, wouldn't that have helped a lot?
That still would help a lot. And, you know, markets are forward-looking, so if you made that announcement, that would help. Natural gas prices would come down. And right now, Europe's buying up the global stock. And so that means poorer countries don't get fertilizer. They're running out of electricity, and that's going to be a problem all through next year.
And, look, we look at what Europe has done going green heavily before the Russian-Ukraine war, et cetera, and now the fix they're in. Can the U.S. learn something from this going green without any clear alternative structures? For example, taking out, we have the best fossil fuel industry in the world today. I mean, shouldn't we learn something from this?
Well, don't be dependent on Russia, so that's one. But then also try to find ways to have, we can call it, less carbon-intensive fuels. So in some way, they all got lumped together. And the reality of the world is there's all different kinds of coal. And one problem right now is if you don't have natural gas, what Europe is doing is reopening the coal-fired power plants because you need it for baseload. Within your electricity grid, the world runs on baseload. And politicians are not going to sacrifice that. They'll just burn even the dirtiest coal. In Africa, one of the things is to burn bunker fuel, which is almost like tar, and it's bad for health, bad for the environment, and should stop. But you've got to have more. I think natural gas, maybe nuclear. It's hard. World Bank can't lead on that, but the U.S. sure could.
Yes.
So let me get this straight. We're going to electricity
in California
across the globe for cleaner air, only it forces people to burn crappy, dirty coal, which creates less cleaner air. And this is all for climate change, and we're doing that in California. We're getting rid of the burning natural gas because we want to go to the electricity grid that burns the dirty crap that creates more air pollution, because this is all about making the planet green.
Yeah.
Right?
And everything that we do is involved with that process.
And I have some property I want to sell you. It's in it's beachfront.
I'm not buying any property.
Arizona. It's by the Grand Canyon. On the top of a mesa. It used to be beachfront property. Yeah, that's it. It used to be beachfront property.
Well, what gets me is how many people attend and listen to this and believe this crap. That's what's scary about it, that these people are still walking and talking and doing this stuff. Science.
Some of these people couldn't walk or talk or chew bubble gum and think straight. They do whatever they're told. They think whatever they're told.
Yeah, but you got people like this, and you got...
They're called useful idiots.
It's like, wow, really?
But they're even openly saying it. See, that's the point here. They're openly telling you this.
And people are accepting it. A lot of the young people and stuff are accepting it.
Let's just keep... Because Trump's about, Orange Man, oh, we got it. Let's go after Orange
Man.
Yeah,
we have to go to a break, and then we have a guest, and we will be changing the subject. We will be talking about the water. You've been listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
We walked on the beach beside that old hotel. They're tearing it down now, but it's just as well. I haven't shown you everything a man can do. So stay with me, baby. I got plans for you. This is the time to remember, 'cause it will not last forever.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Gold Leaf Nursery is open. Have you noticed all the different colors of crepe myrtles blooming? We have several varieties and colors. Dwarf size, semi-dwarf, up to full size to choose from, and right now they're on sale. They are drought tolerant, and it's a great time to buy. Gold Leaf Nursery carries a large selection of water-resistant shrubs and trees. We have our summer sale going on now with 20% off 1 gallon through 24-inch box trees. Gold Leaf Nursery, located on Churn Creek Road, a quarter mile from Airport Road, across from the Tucker Oaks Golf Course.
VNT Satellite has you covered with a 2-year TV price guarantee from Dish. Great TV service, stable price, no surprises.
Don't call the 800 number.
call 530-241-3474 or visit BT Satellite, your local premier dish retailer today.
Monthly equipment fees and other restrictions apply. Recording hours vary, 2,000 hours based on SD programming. Remote viewing requires internet connection and compatible mobile device.
Hi friends, this is RC with Tobacco and Brew. This month's cigar of the humidor, La Gloria Cubana S, San Andres. A new offering from La Gloria Cubana, draped in a dark, oily San Andres wrapper, direct from the volcanic and potassium-rich soil of Mexico, rolled at the El Credito factory in the lush valleys of the Dominican Republic, where their motto is, one factory, 100 artisans, one goal, to craft the most exquisite cigars on the planet. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Our buddy, Five Times August. Yeah, he just came out with that. Anti-Fascist Blues is the name of that. Yeah, really good stuff. Okay, so we're here. We have our guests in the studio. We have Ed and Elaine Roberts. I believe they're related to Colt Roberts somehow or another.
Yes, I think so.
Colt's my son.
Okay.
I knew that.
Yeah. You guys don't look old enough to be Colt Roberts' parents.
We don't feel old enough either.
No, there you go. Don't worry. Time will come. It's coming. You know, you're going to feel old sooner than you think.
Well, you never know. But what happens, you get to a certain age and you go, oh, crap, I really am old. You're like, dang, man.
Yeah, jeez. I felt it the last few years, that's for sure. The eyes are the first to go. We won't talk about the rest of it.
I was going to say something, but we'll leave it. So, yeah, we're changing gears. We are going to be talking water.
Acid.
Acid water.
I think that stands for Anderson...
Cottonwood Irrigation
District.
Yeah.
As opposed to the LSD kind.
Yeah.
This is the water kind.
We've already had posts about
it. Or lack of.
We learned that when we started our website. We were getting some really strange postings on there.
Hey, can I come over and pick up a couple of hits, man?
The funny thing was we didn't put two and two together because we thought, oh, wait, it does say acid.
It's a 60s thing, you know?
Yeah.
And they didn't shut you down either, did they?
Dave's not here, man.
That's it. Hey, Dave. I got the stuff, man. Woo.
So where should we start on this? Well, we all know that there's an issue with acid water.
Right. There is a huge issue.
Yeah, there's no water.
Hasn't been any water.
You know
but
where I think we should start? I think we should start with the fact that we've got a couple of people running for the district Board of Supervisors in the District 5, and there's Baron Browning and Chris Kelstrom at this point are the two running. And I was talking to Elaine about this a week or two ago, and she kind of gave me her thoughts on this and what has been happening at these meetings.
Talking Board of Supervisor meetings?
Yes.
Okay.
Water meetings.
I just wanted it clarified, yeah.
So maybe tell us what's the difference between, you and the actual water board.
Okay. Well, the association is working with the community to get injunctions together. We have Jennifer Media. She's a part of the injunction team. We have Ed getting water to the people through Willibrator, who's been kind enough to allow us access to water.
So you're hauling water.
Hauling water, yeah. Yes. So the association is basically standing up with the community to do things that the ACI board didn't do. And
I or mean, won't I, do or can't do.
Won't
or,
do, yeah. can't do, or hasn't I
done.
Done.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and we're about, our main mission is to get water to the people. When we found out that we were not getting water, the whole community was in shock, all of us. We were, basically went home, what are we going to do? We have no water.
So
this
you,
hasn't happened since who knows when.
So you still have no water, and you
right.
don't look to be having any water for quite some time. Is that
the Yeah, we got zero allocation
yeah.
This year to the water users. The Bureau of Reclamation actually, through negotiations, gave ACID 18% of their yearly allotment, irrigation year. They chose to sell that water because they said it wasn't enough to put down the canal.
So did they sell that water knowing that there was going to be no more water?
We might get water next year looking at figures and water flows and drought information that's provided by the state. It doesn't look positive, but we're all hoping for it. So it's not permanently no water, just for
just
this
but,
last season.
But they sold the water because yes. the 18%, from my understanding, wouldn't go past Crown Motors.
Crown Motors.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yes. So they sold it to Bella Vista and to Happy Valley, correct?
Well,
City of Reading.
The vast majority was sold to the Tehama Calusa Canal Authority. They got
okay.
a little over 13,000 acre feet.
Okay.
Yeah. So we got four, they sold it to four different
areas?
Areas, yeah.
Okay.
City of Reading was
yeah.
one of them also. So you said Bella Vista,
Happy Valley,
and City of Reading and Tehama Calusa.
Yeah.
They got the larger percent of it.
So going, you know, I hate to say circling back, but circling back to what I first started with Baron Browning and Chris Kellstrom, how are they involved in this thing, and what have they been doing? Because those are the guys that are going to be the you know Board of Supervisors, one of them, and have they been you know putting pressure on the Anderson Water Board to release things, do something, take care of things, what?
Yeah, Chris Kellstrom has been very involved. In fact, he's been at every single meeting that I've been to. He's been pretty vocal about what's going on. Baron Browning, I have heard nothing from him.
Right.
I seen him at a, we had a basically an information exchange at the ACID, Anderson City Hall. And I was, by the time I even knew he was there, I was already leaving, and I didn't get a chance to talk to him. But I've never actually even spoke with Baron Browning.
How many meetings has there been that he hasn't attended?
I don't think he's ever been to a Water Users Association meeting. Never.
Why? Why? I mean, you'd think he'd be interested.
In my opinion, personally, and it's if you're going to run for District 5, which is a major part of District 5, is
right.
the water users.
Where right. sure.
you should be supporting us. Talk. You don't have to be a part of the committee or the association, but at least show some sort of empathy to the situation for the people of the area. Because if you're going to take on the supervisor's position and you're not, and you're the city mayor, and you haven't shown any empathy, I'm not sure how you're going to handle it.
He would think that we'd have some kind of dialogue with all the people that's in the district along the ditch.
Right. Yeah, if I was running a campaign right now for District 5, I would be all over this. I mean, this is
well, what, so we, in District 5, you've got Anderson, Cottonwood, what, Happy Valley?
Shingletown.
Well, they cut part of Happy Valley out now, I think.
Yeah, I think Happy Valley's gone, right, yeah, and they cut out Churn Creek Bottom, I think.
So,
we have Gas Point. I'm pretty sure Gas Point all the way to Igo is District 5. And I would say all of the areas that irrigate, there's a major portion in the District 5 area.
But he's the mayor of Anderson.
Yes.
And Anderson's not having any of these problems, right?
The city itself is not having any problems.
Because they're not on the canal.
Yes. So in the irrigation part of Anderson, yes, we're all dried up. Yeah. My town, if I was the mayor of the city and my town was drying up, I would definitely go to committee or community events and support us. And what can I do to help? Hmm. Can I go and help you collect injunctions at an event? Now, this is my opinion. This is not coming from the association. In my opinion, Chris Kellstrom has been to every single community event, committee. He has done everything he can to help us. He's arranged for us to have meetings at the community center in Cottonwood, and he's not even an irrigator. And so that speaks a lot of words for me personally.
Well, when you're talking about somebody who's going to be, your board of director, having somebody who actually is going to be responsive to the people in his district needs, I mean, it seems to me that Browning's kind of missing the boat here a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
I just want to clarify something. So Churn Creek Bottom is out and Happy Valley is in.
In the District 5 area?
In District 5 now.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So that was all the...
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they transferred that from District 2.
Well, I was part of that districting committee thing, the one that we all presented to Modi and spent like 2 to 3 months on, and he just totally ignored it. And then the whole thing was sticking a finger, and I got to get my little dig in here because it really ticked me off, because it was just sticking a finger in everybody's eye, because it's funny how all of the guys that lived in those districts that were running campaigns all got moved to other districts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have to say, you did a fundraiser.
Yes.
Yeah,
and Chris was there.
Yeah,
I was there, but we there. Barron wasn't anywhere near that, and that was done at the community center.
He's just too busy. He got too many responsibilities. He doesn't care.
It's a hot
what do you
seat.
Think?
I don't know. Chris Kellstrom actually took seat. Control of that entire. He set up the entire fundraiser because we really didn't know what we were doing at the time.
Yeah.
And he took charge of that whole thing, and it worked out really well.
So going back to the board, so now we've got contentiousness between your organization and the board, the elected board. About
the acid board.
It's not. Is that what they call it? The acid board too.
Yeah. ACID board.
ACID board.
The users board.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
The users board. Yes. Mm-hmm. We do have a board and a committee. Yes.
Okay, so you're the committee and they're the board.
I'm a little off.
Well, the elected is the,
is the ACID board.
Right.
Yes.
And then your organization is.
Users Association.
So yes. you're not really the ACID board.
No.
Okay.
That would
separate.
Be Brenda Haynes, Ray Alante, Rick Williams, Tiger Michaels, and Audie Butcher.
Okay. And then you guys have formed an organization because you feel like you're not getting responsiveness from them?
Well, watching what's been going on with the water statewide, we're pretty convinced that if we don't fight for our water, we're not going to see it again.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So should we go to
our caller?
Yeah, let's go to our caller.
We've got a caller. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning. I just want to make an announcement. 1 week from today, exactly 1 week at 8 a.m. on Poke the Hornet's Nest, Doug Jenke and I are going to have Jim Rickard on, who is running against Brenda Hayes to take over ACID. So I just wanted to let your listeners hear that.
All right.
Well, thanks, Nick. We appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Bye. So bye. November's going to be pretty telling across the board. There's going to be a couple less people on the water board. There's going to be a couple new people. possibly.
Right. Possibly.
And there's going to be a couple, well, we know we're going to get at least one new, or two new persons as board of supervisors in the county.
Right.
November's exciting for a lot of people in our county. Especially and right now, which is really strange, what's going on with the ACID board is two people just stepped down, and one has already given his letter to the board of ACID.
Who would that be?
That would be Rick Williams.
Okay.
He gave his letter and he said he's done.
Yeah.
And immediately, not even his term is up in 2024, and he stepped down in the middle.
So it's a pretty hot seat then.
It's a hot seat.
Right now. And if it's not, it's going to be.
Right. Yeah, water is.
Water Users Association is probably going to make sure of that.
Right.
So is the board working with the water users? Are you guys? I mean, is there?
I think they try to work with us.
Uh-huh.
That was the whole idea when the association started, was working with the ACID board.
Okay.
That was our plan.
But that doesn't seem to be a very good plan at this point.
It seems to me that we don't get information that we would like to get.
So, well, do you think that they're stonewalling you a little bit, or do you think they're just not paying attention to you? Or
it sure has felt that way.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's their intentions. The new general manager they hired, he's great. I like him. I talked to him on the phone yesterday for 30 minutes, and we could have gone on and on and on. He loves the association, and he said he's got some good plans. But working with the big three, they call it. Those are the three top. They have the Central Valley Water Project and the Sacramento Settlement Contractors. We are a part of that. So the big three are the top irrigators,
mm-hmm.
or districts. They use the most water from the Sacramento River. And the big three is what they call them. I'm pretty sure it's I can't remember. One uses 825,000 and the rest are about 225,000.
So what are we talking about? Bella Vista? Or
we're talking
about further down. This is south.
Glen Calusa Irrigation
Right.
District.
Sutter and 108, okay. They call it. Those are, and ACID is number four with our 125,000 acre feet. My whole goal is to get, I'm hoping that ACID board will start working with the bigger three to come up with plans. They all got water this year. They were able to use their 18% of water. We are a large district, and we don't have any water. So this was a huge shock for us, and we're hoping that they can give us insights and ideas. He told me that they have town halls regularly with their farmers of their communities to get ideas from their farmers on how to make the water
solutions.
Thank you.
So let's talk about damages.
I was just going to say
solutions.
So that I just want to clarify something. So the other districts got their water first before we didn't get any water.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the timing of it.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I think it all came out about together. And I tell you, I really didn't know much about irrigating other than I went and turned the water on and watered my field. I've learned a lot in the last few months.
Oh, I bet,
And I'm still learning.
So you got a cram course in it.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So what kind of damages have we incurred since this has all been shut off? We went through a whole summer at this point, I guess, without any water and in a drought year.
Yeah.
I mean, what is the cost? What has the cost been to the people living down there?
Well, I only run about 6 head of cattle, but they're costing me about $500 a month in hay. My grass, my field's dead. It's going to have to be replanted if we do get water. Basically, the only thing that I'm going to get back is Bermuda grass.
You're going to have to reseed.
Yeah.
And then multiply you times thousands of people?
About, I think there's
700,
over
800.
700, 750
yeah.
or something
yeah,
is
well
on
over
the canal.
7,000 acres of irrigated land here.
And how much land do you have?
I only irrigate about 4 acres.
4 acres.
Yeah.
So if your damage is, you know, 6,000 a year at least minimum just on the hay and then the field replanting, so what do you think to recoup?
About 600 an acre to replant, and this information comes from Josh Davey. He's been working with us also.
So you're like 10,000 in damage at least?
Yeah, if we're just going by that, that doesn't the trees that I've had die. I mean, you're right. Really not much you can do to replace.
So I'm just trying to wrap my head around some kind of a number. If you got 7,000 of these going times, I mean, what are we looking at?
Not to interrupt.
Oh,
but if you do that, I just lost it. The reseeding, you don't know if the reseeding is going to work because of the drought and the water situation, so you could be out even more money.
That's a gamble.
Yeah.
It's a gamble.
It's a gamble at that. Yeah.
Kind of
if
money.
You plant now, you may not have your fields come next year.
And the people in this district have sold cattle by the thousands. I mean, they just they can't
exactly
afford it.
That because
water
of that
was their living. I mean,
yeah.
People bought property. In fact, I talked to one gal that had just bought 70 acres and had 100 or 200 head of cattle and
she had to get rid of them.
Bought it this year for that reason.
So what's the cause of all this, really? I mean, is there an underlying thing that you can put your finger on and say, this is the real problem right here?
Yes. Our water is being put down into the San Francisco Bay Delta, a lot of it. And it's being used for environmental to save salmon and
Delta smelt.
And you'll see a lot of conflicting information when you see the statistics on this, because they'll say that farmers use 80% of the water pie, they call it. And that's absolutely not true. 50% of the real pie is going for environmental. So they're literally dumping our water into the San Francisco Bay Delta.
Mm-hmm.
And calling it drought.
Well, and to that note, it's one of the things that I noticed that really seems to be the crux of the matter for our situation here is in 2019, all of these dams, all of them were full. The lowest of them was 127%. That was the Orville Dam, and that was because it had some structural integrity problems. Well, that year, they dumped as much as 93% of our water into the ocean, and it was to save 1,000 salmon and the Delta smelt, which the Delta smelt is an invasive species.
Yeah, it's not even a native species.
Right.
Yeah.
And so 100%, that's supposed to be 5 years of water. So
yes.
We're 3 years into this, and we're experiencing this drought, and we're experiencing these people that are not able to get the water for their cattle, the water for their hay, the water for everything else that they need to be able to make work. And it used to be, correct me if I'm wrong, about $1,000 per head of cattle is what you'd normally end up getting at market not that long ago.
Yeah.
And now if you're paying $500 a month for 6 head of cattle, to feasibly make a return on that, you're going to need to sell those cattle for $3,000-$4,000 each.
Yeah, basically, I didn't get into the cattle business to make money. We're raising grandkids,
right.
and I want them raised with some knowledge of livestock and all that. That's why I'm holding on to them. It's supplied our family with beef, and we could usually sell a steer every year.
Sure. Wow. So. It looks to me like this whole thing is kind of, when you look across the board at everything and you take everything in total, kind of a perfect storm thing going on here. We're seeing food plants being destroyed. We're seeing so many different things. And, you know, and I don't want to be a conspiratorial theorist. How do you say that anyway? A theorist?
Conspiracy theorist?
Theorist. Never mind.
Theorist.
But it's hard not to look and see that they're trying to quell food production here quite a bit across the board. I mean, they're not giving land or water to the farmers. They're not giving the farms that were raising cattle and other things their water allocations in a lot of cases. They're sending it down the Delta. And then you look at the economy, the supply chains, you know, going across the board. I mean, what are they going to try to starve us out? Is that what this is about?
No, well, you just
I tell you what, if they're not doing it on purpose, they have got to be the dumbest people on the planet.
Well, there is that too.
Right.
I mean, the layers of possibility. I'm not putting that one off the board.
At this stage of the game, if they were to allot us even the 18,000 or more than the 18,000 and put it in the ditch, is it enough? Can we get enough water?
Well, when they gave us
the farmers right now.
No, not at this point.
We're done this year.
Yeah, this irrigation season's wrapping up.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
But what they did is they tried to get the 18% all at once to charge the canal with it.
Right.
And for one of the reasons was to help with the groundwater recharge. But evidently the Bureau of Reclamation came back and said, no, you have to spread that 18% out during the whole irrigation year.
We got about a minute left, and then you know we'll stay after the top of the hour break where you don't have any control over that. But I want to talk a little bit more about that because, you know, what are the solutions to this problem that we're talking about? And
who's making the decisions, BLM? Are they the ones that are pulling the strings on it?
No. Well, I think the original came from the Bureau of Reclamation.
Well, no, and you guys
from
have
the State Water Resource Board is who made the decision not to give us water.
And you guys have cash, right? So can you buy water elsewhere with that?
We're actually looking into doing exactly that. One of the things that is going to be a barrier is the ACID board will have to vote to let us use the canal
system. Let's talk some more about it. We'll come back.
We're at the top of the hour. They're going to cut us off. You've been listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Using ideas as my map. We'll meet on edges soon, said I. Proudly heated brow.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Russia's latest nuclear threats are not going to force a change in America's nuclear posture. Here's White House correspondent Greg Clugston.
President Vladimir Putin says he's not bluffing about using all means available if Russia's territory is threatened. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
We obviously take these threats very seriously, but we have not seen any reason to adjust our own nuclear posture at this time.
At the UN, President Biden told world leaders that Putin's threats are reckless, and U.S. diplomats urged other nations to tell Russia to stop making nuclear threats. Greg Clugston, Washington.
A new poll finds Republicans with an edge in voter enthusiasm. Here's correspondent Bernie Bennett with that.
With the midterm elections less than 7 weeks away, more Republicans and Democrats say that they're very excited to vote this fall. The latest Rasmussen Report's national telephone and online survey finds that 79% of likely U.S. voters are excited about voting in the midterm elections, including 53% who are very excited. 18% are not excited about voting in the midterms. The survey of 1,000 likely U.S. voters was conducted between September 18th and 19th. The margin of sampling error was ±3% with a 95% level of confidence. Bernie Bennett reporting.
North Korea fired another short-range ballistic missile into the sea this morning, extending a provocative streak in weapons testing as the U.S. aircraft carrier visits South Korea for joint military exercises. South Korean officials say they detect signs that the North is ready to fire another missile sometime soon, one that would be designed to eventually be fired from a submarine. The onset of fall weather in Ukraine making fields too muddy for tanks and beginning to slow Ukrainian efforts to take back more Russian-held territory before everything freezes over. The clock is ticking for both sides. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Are you kidding me? Gas prices are up again? Somebody has to do something. Well, someone did. That's why I use Upside. Upside? What's that? It's a free app that pays you back real money for every gallon of gas or diesel you buy. I just earned 25 cents back on every gallon of this tank. Hold on. So the Upside app is free and you actually get cash back every time you use it? No strings attached? Yep, it's awesome. Check it out. It only takes a couple of minutes to sign up.
Instead of just watching your dollars go into your tank, start putting money back into your wallet with the free app from Upside. With the price of gas today, it's big news and big money. To cash out of your Upside cash, just transfer it to your bank account, PayPal, or a gift card. Upside users have already earned over $200 million. Now it's your turn. Download the free Upside app and get cash back on every gallon of gas. Use promo code SALEM for an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's code SALEM. Use code SALEM for an extra 25 cents per gallon back in your first fill up. Cashback's not available in gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Several environmental groups have launched legal challenges to the European Union's decision to label investments in gas and nuclear power as green.
EU lawmakers in July voted to include natural gas and nuclear power in the so-called taxonomy system. It backs a proposal from the European Commission that's been drawing fierce criticism and accusations of greenwashing. The European Commission has up to 22 weeks to reply to requests for an internal review.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting. A billowing cloud of dark smoke towering over Paris today from a warehouse blaze at a massive produce market which supplies the French capital and surrounding region with much of its fresh fruit and bills itself as the biggest of its kind in the world. Firefighters urging people to stay away from the area in Paris' southern suburbs while they tackle the blaze at the warehouse. No immediate reports of any injuries. News and analysis at townhall.com. Ongoing unrest in one Central African nation has left at least 80 people dead.
The clashes in the west of the Democratic Republic of Congo were fueled by a long-running land dispute. Traditional chiefs from the Teke community see themselves as the rightful owners of the land, as they were in the Mai-Ndombe province before the rival Yaka people settled there. This week, a decision was taken to increase the tax to be paid to the Teke chiefs, a move that angered the Yaka community and led to fighting in three areas. The Congolese military intervened to end the violence, but the situation remains extremely tense. In recent months, dozens of people have died and more than 20,000 have been displaced in the same area.
The BBC's Will Ross. Today is Sunday, September the 25th, the 268th day of 2022. On this date in history, 1513, Balboa crossed the Isthmus of Panama and sighted the Pacific Ocean. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Way back in my memory, there's a scene that I recall of a little run-down cabin in the woods where my daddy never promised that our blue moon would turn gold, but he lay awake nights wishing that it would. When the world was on our radio, hard work was on our minds, we lived our day in plain dirt fashion, with old overalls and cotton balls all strapped across your back. Man, it's hard to make believe ain't nothing wrong. But Mama kept the Bible read, and Daddy kept our family fed, and somewhere in between I must have grown. Cause someday I was dreaming that a song
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State, 96.5 FM, Your Talk Radio, 1460 AM, and we're back and we're talking water here. And we had a good conversation over the break.
Yeah, we did.
Probably should have taped it. Let's talk about attorneys. You tried to get attorneys.
Yeah, I just Googled a list of water rights attorneys and started calling on down the list. And I ran into several that said it was a conflict, and I wasn't sure why at the time. But
well, obviously it's the fact that they're representing both sides.
Yeah, there's a pretty large firm that represents ACID, and
not only that, but my understanding is it would be against the federal government, basically.
Yeah,
correct. And
exactly,
they don't want to take
nobody
on.
Wants to take on the federal government.
Exactly,
which is kind of sad in itself, but. They're breaking their own rules, aren't they, at this whole thing? I mean, isn't this whole thing the Endangered Species Act? I mean, if you dry up all the water for all the fields and the farmers, aren't
the
you
wetlands.
Doing
the wetlands?
Oh, yeah.
Wetlands? Because of the wetlands, yeah.
Isn't it compounding the whole green agenda?
In the ACID district, it is completely. I mean, it just destroyed it. If there was a fairy shrimp around before, they're gone now.
So I guess the turtles only matter when you want the turtles to
exactly.
matter.
Exactly. The salmon and the snout.
Well, during the Peter Fire, the turtle sanctuary that they have in Happy Valley, I think, that burned up and they lost turtles. And that was a super sad situation anyhow. Five homes, I think, total burned down. And people feel that if they have water in their fields,
it wouldn't
have happened as devastating. I'm sure the fire would have started, but it would have been controlled better.
Well, if you don't got tons of dried grass out there in the field, obviously that's going to be a little bit better to not have the fire.
And what happened, Ed, did an aerial plane ride flight?
Oh, yeah. We flew over the whole ACID district, and it was – we went back on Google Earth and looked at pictures of what it was, you know,
supposed
to
be.
It
just turned into a desert.
We were actually at a board meeting, and the meeting was excused for a closed session, and we walked out on the top floor of the City Hall in Anderson, and you looked out the fire, and that's when the fire started. During an ACID board meeting, we thought, well, that's really ironic. We're in a board meeting for water, and we're looking over, and the Peter fire started.
Wow. So should we buy camels and wear turbans now? Is that where we're headed?
I'm hoping we're going to get some water out of this.
I think we should buy horses and buggies.
Oh. I guess we have a caller.
I can't. I'm sorry.
I think it says PETA. But
PETA? Is that what it says? Okay. Well, good morning, PETA. What do you have for us?
Hey, good morning, you guys.
No, that's Peter.
Peter.
How you doing, Pete? Go ahead.
You're on one of my favorite topics, of course. The question I ask myself is just how much water do we have now? I was involved in this Elk Trail project, still am, and made it happen, $9.6 million project, with the help of Brenda Haynes, by the way. And, I was at a meeting there at the McConnell Foundation many years ago when we were in drought and whatever. And, I was with a bunch of academic fools, and I'm pretty simple person. And I asked the question, just how much water do we have, as in how much water from all the mountains around us in the form of snow turning to water flows into the ocean? The figure they came up with was 75%. So the question I asked was, well, how much of that do we have to hold back to cure the problem we have right now? And finally, someone had enough balls to turn around and tell me, and he said 2 to 3%. Now, they're all worried about the fish and the delta, and up in Klamath they want to tear down bloody dams to keep all the Native Americans happy and whatever. The other extreme that I brought up at the time was in India, for example, from the Himalayas. Not one drop of that snow turning to water gets to the ocean. Now that may be the extreme, but when you got a situation here, and I'd love for somebody to check it out, when you got 75% of our water flowing into the ocean coming from all the mountains around us covered in snow, I'm looking at Lassa now, it's got snow on it, how much do we have to hold back that to cure all this water problem?
I don't know.
I would say, for the Sacramento River Settlement contractors, I think it would be about 1.8 million acre feet.
I would think whatever the people have rights to, which is the water.
Yes.
That is allocated to each district. So, like, our water right is 125,000 acre feet, which was negotiated between the BOR and our district, and that's the amount we should get. We revised the contract and allowed...
According to our contract, we should get 75% of it, even in a critical year.
In a critical year, yes.
Who changed that?
Well maybe, Newsom. The guys that are in control of deciding how much flows into the ocean, maybe we should be jumping on their asses.
Yeah.
Yeah, because my understanding is not so much there isn't water available.
I haven't been able to get Newsom to talk to me yet.
Yeah, Ed calls him regularly.
I call him all the time, too, but I don't try calling. I just call him things.
Ed leaves the messages. We haven't ever got a call back. Even when Brown was the governor, you never got a call back from him either.
No.
I think they just, maybe they're too busy or... They just don't like our cup of tea, I guess.
Hey, let them eat cake.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of interesting, too, because when you look at the waterfront and you look at the situations that are being created for us right now, I guarantee you the lawns down in L.A. and those areas, they're still beautiful and green and lush. And
they're building water parks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right in the middle of this, they built a new water park in Anaheim.
Mm-hmm.
And they're telling us to, our farmers are taking the water and they're building water parks.
Well, and this is one of those
things. There's only one more frightening about being without water is if Newsom becomes president of this country.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's because we're all we're all MVEs, Pete. We're all MVEs. We're all militia violent extremists, and that's why we.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah,
if,
you left
if
me
you don't
the other
fight
night, going, we're all Nazis and everything else. I can't believe. All right, God bless you. I love you, sir. Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, well, let's. I guess we're going to have to wrap it up here pretty quick.
I was
going
to say real quick to your point about South California, Southern California.
South California?
Yeah.
SoCal?
Anyway, they're not cutting their water that's coming out of the dam, you know, out of Lake Mead to Southern California at all.
There wasn't anything left in Lake Mead.
Well, there's not much, but my point is they cut all the other states and everything, their percentages, but they didn't cut Southern California.
There's an interesting documentary that we had learned from an old-timer, Bill Gregory. He's really good at giving advice, and he's been helping us along the way. It's called Cadillac Desert. And if you watch that documentary, it will give you a whole new outlook, maybe even get you a little riled up about water.
What's happening?
Yeah,
and how they just consume the city of L.A.
Yes, exactly. That was my point.
They sucked up. What was
that? They took the entire Owens River.
Owens Lake, and now they're on to Mead. And I think.
And now they're on to us.
All the time. Yeah.
See, that's my point.
Yeah,
so they didn't cut nothing down there, but they are.
That's because most of the voters down there are Democrat, or at least most of the voting machines down there are Democrat.
Yeah, I think that's
probably closer.
The voting machines, yeah.
I got a little clip. That's sort of a setup.
there's an interesting element of this, too. Once you start changing the water and where it's located, you don't get that back a lot of times. Like right now, there's articles coming out talking about how Vegas and that area is actually becoming a spring, and there's more water that's coming into the area than is leaving it. But that water, as it evaporates, it starts going on those tables and returns to it. But if you take your water that's here and you ship it out into the ocean, that water's not returning here. That's why we're having these droughts and having these problems. A lot of times we have it evaporate here and then go across the entirety of the nation. So as soon as they did that, the very next year, you know what happened? We had huge droughts that were over in Texas and across the board over there because we ended up messing with the flow of things. And now what's happening to the Delta smelt and the salmon?
Right. And well, let's take it a step further. Now you're going to start dealing with the electricity problem.
Yeah.
Because of the water situation, if you watch like what you're talking about. Yeah, this goes beyond just no water. This goes into the electricity piece of it, too, for us.
Yeah, and at the same time, we're being told to farm with electric tractors and drive electric vehicles.
Exactly. Thank you.
Right. The famous word that they say is circling back to attorneys.
Right.
The way we got this attorney that Ed will tell you about shortly is Ed told him, if we don't fight now, we will never see water again. So I imagine the attorney went home and slept on it, and he decided to work with Ed on getting water.
An ethical attorney? Let me see.
Yeah.
That's a little oxymoron there.
Is it a cold day in hell?
I don't know, but when they have springs rising up out of the desert in Las Vegas, I think Moses has returned because. I guess we got to go to a break here.
We got a caller. We've got Dave on the line. Good morning, Dave. Hello? Are you there?
Hello. Yes. Yeah, good morning to y'all.
Good morning.
Yes, so you're on the air. You're on the air, Dave. Go ahead. What's up?
Yeah. So I see what you guys are talking about with this water situation. I haven't heard much talked about the geoengineering, the stratospheric aerosol injections. But still nobody believes is happening today.
I don't know if I don't believe it as much as I know that I'm trying to solve problems that we can do something about and maybe turn our guns on that. I think that that's probably happening, but the problem is we can't even get hold of our local board of supervisors is my issue before we can get anything done on that issue. We gotta revamp the system because these guys aren't listening to us is the problem.
Well, these guys, this is all being done on purpose. This is all part of, you know, the Great Reset by Klaus Schwab. There is a conspiracy going on. Conspiracy is, the definition of the word is, two or more people working in conjunction or ballet to make something happen. I ask this to people all the time when they tell me, you sound like a conspiracy theorist. I ask them, what's the definition of the word conspiracy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and they just look at And they always say it's when you believe something that's against what's true, what's real. And I'm like, absolutely wrong.
I think they've actually, I've just seen in the last couple of weeks, correct me, you probably know more about it, this because I glanced at an article, that they actually have new evidence that have come out that the it's either the World Economic Forum or somebody's admitted that they're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude, it's the World Economic Forum. It's mm-hmm. the United Nations, Agenda 2030, Agenda 21. They're all admitting it. So it's not a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy fact. Conspiracy, two or more people working in conjunction or ballet making something happen. Theory, the gathering of facts to create a hypothesis. The facts are they've already written down what they plan on doing.
Yeah, you got
They're not hiding it at all.
You're not going to get an argument from me, Dave. You're not going to get an argument.
I don't think anybody in the room is arguing.
My question is, why can't we file a class action lawsuit against these people and be like, look, here's the evidence. Look what you're doing to us. Like, Problem, reaction, solution.
I think that you got to get somebody who's going to get
gonna
on
do point, it.
That's going to do that and be a point man for it. And you know, I would get behind that. But the problem is that we are all, you know, remember Van Jones when he said we're going to go from the top down and the bottom up. That's what they're doing. We're so busy running around putting out fires locally, statewide, and federally that you know we're picking and choosing or trying to pick and choose the things that we can do things about, like getting the Board of Supervisors under control, and that's been our main focus for a while. But yeah, I think your idea is spot on.
Yeah, well,
I think all these people need to be like, they're suing people left and right for just there's people still sitting in jail for just walking into the Capitol when some dude just ran down, a 41-year-old ran down an 18-year-old and told the cops, for goodness sakes, oh, I thought he was a Republican extremist. These mm-hmm. people need to be sued to the hilt and just show all, we have all the information, we just need to fight them. And I hope we don't end up like, you know, all the people that the Clintons knew with the Clinton body count and all that jazz. But we mm-hmm. need to fight this. This is an informational war. 95% of warfare is information.
As Bongino says, the main rule is don't get dead, okay? And so
don't commit suicide.
We don't want to get dead or get Arkansas-ed.
Yeah.
All right? So.
And the association is actually, we actually hired a biologist. He did a whole biological review of our area, and we are in the process of collecting injunctions with the community so we can take that down and file injunctions with our biological review. We have another gal, her name's Jennifer Mita, great gal, super smart, gets down to the bottom of everything. She is looking into starting an investigation. She started off by calling the marshal. She didn't get very far there, so she's going to the FBI, which we all know that might not go far, but hey, we got her guy. She's going to start an investigation there. In the report from the judge that granted us to have no water, it's the Drodes report. I'm not exactly sure if I'm pronouncing that name correctly.
It was the judge's name, Drodes.
The judge's name is Drodes. A lady who was with the state actually said that her goal is to stop the farming and make urbanization everywhere. So I feel that there's a lot of people in our own local area that's on her same page. And
Because the reason why these people are following all this is because the mainstream news, unlike you guys, I listen to you guys every Sunday morning, and I listen to Alex Jones. People got to listen to what he's saying. Band.video. You got to listen to what's going on because we need to fight right now, and not physically, but spiritually and economically against these people. Stop buying their junk. Start growing your own garden and start going to all the police departments. These people need to be working. These police need to be working with us.
Listen, Dave, you don't need to grow anything or start a farm or raise anything like that to feed yourself because you just go to the store. Come on, man. What's wrong with you?
The store has everything.
Come on, man.
I'm not going to lie. I've been looking at this stuff for 16 years. I've got food stocked up. I try to tell people this every day, and every time they say I sound like a conspiracy theorist, I bring that term up. And we need to show people that, look, the definition of the word conspiracy isn't what you think it is. Read a dictionary from 1986. Not only that, the definition of vaccine has changed. Who has the ability to change these words and control the masses? That's what we need to do, is have not riots, but meetings with trifles and hand this stuff out and just be handing it out to people going, look, you want to know what's going on? The truth is stranger than fiction.
I'll tell you, Dave,
I think
we're starting to win, Dave. I think the tide is turning, but it's going to get ugly before we before it changes. But I appreciate your call, and if you
thanks got, for listening and calling in. We appreciate
it. God bless
it.
You guys.
All right, thanks, Dave.
So in talking to that, you said you this lawyer is going to take the case, and where's the lawyer going with it?
Actually, he came up with a different avenue, and what he did is he found a guy that has a large water right off the Trinity River, and he thinks he has a way of transferring that water into the Sacramento River ahead of our diversion gate.
Wow, that's a pretty neat trick. How do you get it over the hill?
Actually,
go through Keswick system. And
yes, Trinity River dumps into the Lewiston Lake.
Then has the pumps to go over to Keswick. And
well, it's actually a tunnel.
That's what I mean. It goes through the tunnel. Is it all gravity?
I believe so.
Oh, that's
it's a 17.5-foot diameter tunnel that goes into Whiskeytown Lake, and then there's about 2.5 miles of tunnels coming out of there into Keswick.
Oh, I see. So it goes It goes from Lewiston to Whiskeytown, then to Keswick.
Yes.
And then out, and then into the Sacramento.
Into the Sacramento River.
Interesting. Yeah, I knew I'd studied that water system years ago, but it's been a long time.
Yeah, I just learned about it in the last few months.
She's the one who routes all the water. She actually has found the way that she's tracked the water from the beginning all the way to the end of California through mapping systems.
Yeah, Lori Shaw's done a lot
of
work.
Yeah, she's done a lot of research.
On how the water flows
and she's actually found a way that they divert it down to L.A., which, what was that canal system they were going to build to divert more water to L.A.?
Back in the 70s and 80s, I think they were calling it the peripheral canal.
Yeah, the peripheral canal. So then we had...
Then it was twin tunnels. They wanted
to
twin tunnels.
It's supposed to be down by the Delta Divide. So I do actually, their ultimate plan is to dry out the northern part of California. Mm-hmm. At first, we thought it was a payback for the... things that Shasta County has stood up. We'll just take their water. But we did find out that most of the people in our Sacramento settlement contractors did not get the water. But I think their plan is to dry us out, get more wells out there, get more urbanization, and control the food product,
right.
I guess. I mean, I could be a conspiracy theorist, but I don't really care.
Well,
if I'm the definition of conspiracy theorist, so be it.
Speaking about the wells and the things like that of that nature, so you have this 2035 all-electrical vehicles. Well, these well drillers, they've got to be able to run 24/7 on their vehicles to be able to actually drill down into the ground. You're not going to have batteries for these systems. You're not going to be able to drive 300 miles out in the middle of nowhere and drill a well. So it's one more way to where the World Economic Forum gets their way and says, oh, you don't get to live rurally. You don't get to be in the middle of the wilderness and be on your own and grow your own food and have solar and do the rest of that, because you're not going to be able to get somebody out there to do it. You're not going to be able to have the machinery that's going to be able to work like that.
No. Well, when do you make the stand?
Yeah.
That's
I was going to say, but it sounds like maybe between everything, you guys are starting to come together, a group of people more and more, like with the lawyer and the guy over in Trinity and stuff, that maybe there is solutions.
Yeah,
a little bit of hope on the horizon.
Yep, we're pursuing every avenue that we can think of to pursue.
People.
And meanwhile, the numbers are growing. There's more and more people joining in the fight.
Okay, so that's the next thing. How do people get a hold of you if they want to join, they want to donate, whatever they want to do to help with this? How do they go about it?
We have a Facebook page that's ACID Water Users Association.
Okay.
And on there it has a P.O. box if you want to send donations. We're in the process of looking into setting up a website.
Okay.
Right now it's... several people are going on vacation and doing other things, so it's kind of set at an idle with setting up the website, but that's on we set aside a budget for a website. We set aside a budget for actually radio station ads and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're trying. We're getting it together. If you go to the website, you can send anything you want to our P.O. Box in Anderson.
What's the website address?
Or not website.
Facebook.
The Facebook page is called ACID Water Users Association. We set at 100 members for a month.
Yeah, about 105.
And
it was like
one month we went up. We're at 1,800 now.
Nice. Is there a phone number or no for them to get a hold of you?
We don't have a phone number.
Okay. All right.
We have our personal cell phones, but
you can give them away if you want. But
I want to just make sure.
I'm not giving them mine.
No, I'm not giving mine either.
And if they want to plug into meetings or anything, how would they find out about the meetings? And
we post
everything
we do.
Yeah, they'll be posted on the page.
Okay. We post the board meetings for ACID. We're having a community meeting this Monday, actually tomorrow at 6 p.m. at the Cottonwood Community Center. We'll be giving updates on what we've been doing throughout the summer. We haven't had one since the fundraiser. People are anxious to know how that went. And,
what time?
At 6 p.m.
At 6 p.m.?
Well,
okay.
We're just about out of time.
Yeah,
I could say everybody get out and vote here in November.
Yeah.
Too.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, when you're voting, think about those who you've heard from, I would say. And especially with the water.
Yeah, and definitely
for
on
District
your local
5.
Elections.
Yeah.
I think the local elections are what
are the
is
most
really
important
yep.
thing
yeah.
right now.
It
I think, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're getting run over by a train. You know, it just cracks me up. Everybody is saying that they're moderate or they're Republican or this and that, but then they don't actually support moderates or and I shouldn't say a Republican. It's more conservative policies. You know,
yeah.
That's the thing. We got to get back to this actually, you know, doing what you say and saying what you do thing, where
right.
there's a little honesty in the
And actually what the people
the elections
want.
And the people who we're electing.
Yeah.
What the people want.
I think everybody should maybe sit back and read the Constitution and get back to that.
You bet.
That would be a start.
Yeah, exactly. But with that, I guess I want to thank you guys for coming in. And
thank
we'd
you for
love to have you
me.
Back
right.
with any updates or anything so we can get it out to the community about the water
will.
Situation.
Right.
Would be great.
Thank you.
Perfect. All right.
All right.
Hey, thanks for coming in, Ed and Elaine Roberts.
Thank you.
All right. And with that, we'll go to a break. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
What's the best way to protect your entire family from COVID-19? Make sure everyone 6 months plus is vaccinated and 5 years and up is boosted. That's the safest way to protect them from the virus and reduce its impact on your family and community. The California Department of Public Health and Vaccinate All 58 make it easy. They're bringing a mobile vaccination clinic on Thursday, September 29th to Anderson Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2769 Balls Ferry Road from 1 until 7 p.m. COVID-19 vaccinations are safe and they're free.
Hey, y'all, are you a chicken fried steak fan? You're going to want to stop over at Black Bear Diner, where they've just introduced 4 new ways to love your favorite. Try the kitchen sink omelet, 3 eggs loaded with veggies, chicken fried steak, cheese, and country gravy. Or a new take on a crispy sandwich, crispy or spicy, piled high with goodies, and crispy chicken fried steak. If pasta's your game, they've got you covered with smooth fettuccine alfredo topped with chicken fried steak. Now serving for a limited time, Black Bear Diner.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. Well, that was some good stuff there.
The topic and the music.
Yeah. I like that music. That's new stuff. That's from Tyler. What's his name? Tyler Childers. It's called Angel Band. I ran across that this morning. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess we have a caller.
We've got Dar on the line. Good morning, Dar.
Yes, good morning. I'm not going to talk about water because I've talked to you before about water, and I go back to, you know, all the money we've spent on everything and sending every place else. We have desalination plants on our coast. But what I'm calling about is that, did you know that President Biden is, well, whatever, he says that he is going to put Mitch McConnell's wife in as ambassador to China?
I wouldn't be shocked at all. I mean, Mitch McConnell's one of them. I mean, he really is. Anybody who thinks Mitch McConnell is a Republican is a deep insider, deep state shill, and his wife's a communist spy, as far as I can tell.
Why isn't some disclosure made about him? They keep on about Donald Trump, who's doing nothing but standing up for the American people. And this other thing, I just want to, if you'll let me.
Yeah, go ahead and hurry up. We got some other stuff
to cover. Okay, these are some of the ridiculous spending that's going on. We're $56.9 million for smart toilets, $478,188 to make transgender monkeys, $465,339,000 to study of gambling, and this one really bothers me as an animal lover, $550,000 they take what they do is that they go into live cats' brain stems and they surgically remove them and they put in spinal fitted electrodes.
This has been going on for a long time, Dar, on both sides. It's really crazy because, I mean, when I first started doing seminars, we used to talk about, you know, they were studying the sex habits of tree toads in the Amazon. And also they had a big, huge study they spent a ton of money on. Why do tricycles fall over when kids ride them? And their end result was because they corner too sharply.
Well, can I just finish?
Sure.
Okay. $2 million to COVID aid to phony. I don't know what that is. $300,000 to find out if recycling is good. $75,000 to blow lizards through the air, and this is incredible. They take and they put lizards on the end of blowers, and they blow them in the air to see if they land in the trees, and they hold on. $45,000 for spotting cows from space. I don't know why they have to spot cows from space. $14 million in Hollywood handouts.
The gas.
And 51,490 to study elephant poop.
Hey, that's all valuable. All valuable stuff.
So that's my thoughts for the week.
thanks for calling.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah,
but
bye-bye.
Unfortunately, it probably doesn't stop there. It's just crazy.
No, it doesn't. But this is what the cats bothers me. I'm an animal lover, and I have cats. And that really bothers me. They're doing that. Well, of course, who knows what else they're doing, even to humans. Anyway, thank you.
All have right, thanks day. For calling Bye-bye. In.
Thanks,
and we'll go to our next caller. Good
Stone.
Morning, Stone.
Right inside their hand.
Hello, I'm here. Is there a delay?
Nope, you're good.
Hey.
I don't know. Is there a delay?
No, I'm well rested. No delays here. Hey, okay. Wow. The last board meeting on the 13th, something happened that is huge. Mr. Garmin, Supervisor Garmin, okay, he basically sided with the rhinoceroses on that board to not direct Kathy Allen to retain the 2020 election materials. I'm highly concerned with this because Mr. Garmin, I believe, may have forgotten how and why he was chosen for that position. He was chosen by a special election because the people were pissed off at how the system was operating and not representing we the people. I don't know. We've all heard the stories of how people being elected into office lose their way.
I have a clip that we can play on the call machines as well. I wanted to.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, this Dominion machines are terrible.
So, well, I'm really, my concern today is with Mr. Tim Garmin.
Okay.
I believe he has possibly lost his way very soon after being seated. I'm going to be sending him a very strongly worded email, giving him the opportunity to publicly put out if he has been compromised, whether that be by blackmail, by threat, by bribe, I don't care. He's going to have a very short period of time once I send this email, and it will be on the record. I will put it to the county clerk, clerk of the board, and ask this very email to be put in the agenda packet so it's on the record. And say, Mr. Garmin, you better tell us why you are now voting against the very people that put you in office in order to turn over this local swamp. This is not a small matter, folks. This is not a small matter. I don't know if he's been compromised. I don't know if he was a plant on the ballot for the recall. At this point, I do not know.
Maybe we should reach out to him and see if we can get him on the show, and
other reason.
Well, if you watch that video of the board meeting, which I just finished this morning, okay, he gives plenty of reasons why he believes Kathy Allen is trustworthy. He gives plenty of reasons he believes, while there's no fraud in Shasta County, he... At least on that day, he drank the Les Baugh Kool-Aid because they basically were parroting each other that day at the board. I am highly concerned. And Mr. Garmin, he owes the people of Shasta County a public explanation, not the crap he put out at the board meeting. No. We're talking like people like me. You have him on his show, and people like me calling in asking him some questions that I will demand an answer from.
Well,
because if we lost Tim Garmin now, folks, this changes the entire dynamics of any peaceful remedy, what few are left. And they're almost gone, by the way. This changes the entire dynamic of what we, the people in Shasta County, have been trying to do for the last two damn years. Can you tell I'm a little pissed?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'll reach out to him and see about getting him on the show.
And there is a board meeting coming up. Maybe people will voice their opinions at the board meeting as well.
Well, at the moment with my job, I cannot show up at the board meetings for a short period. I may be able to come back soon. But, you know, and again, when you're holding a board meeting during the workday, how in the hell are, you know, most people going to be able to show up?
No, I agree.
I understand. I'm just speaking in generalizations to people out there listening. Maybe they'll come up and ask the same question.
Well, honestly, elements of this that if we actually had a working system that was for the average working person, we'd be doing these board meetings on the weekends when people can actually do it. Just like
really? Come on now, Dave. I mean, really? That means
what?
That they would have
evenings anyway. At least the evening.
Evening.
What? get in the way of movie time and soccer time, Dave? Come on now.
Right.
Well, anyways, folks, that's all I have for today. But I think this is a major mudslide that has now covered we, the Patriots, that are trying to take this county back. I believe this is a huge matter, and it needs to be discussed further because Mr. Garmon needs to be official on the record as to why he is disregarding the people that put him in office. That's the key here. He was put in here to change the swamp, and now he's talking like a swamp preacher. Not acceptable. Anyways, any questions, and I'll get out of here.
Well, I think we'll pass the message on to everybody and then see what happens.
Yep. We'll do some reaching out. Thank you for calling in. And what I have to say, that what is the board going to do for this next election? You know, nobody's talking about getting rid of the machines for this next election and all of that.
I'm
going
to play this little short clip from DeKalb, Georgia County, and this is on the Dominion machines here. Are we ready to go? All right, so this is the machines that we have locally that we're being used right now.
Yep. No problem with?
Right now, dozens of people are hand-counting ballots in the race for DeKalb County Commission District 2 after a candidate discovered a problem in the electronic tally.
May 24th, DeKalb County, Georgia. Voters went to the polls to vote on a local county commissioner race in District 2 between Lauren Alexander, Marshall Orson, and Michelle Longspears. The end result from the Dominion machine showed Lauren Alexander received 34.67% of the vote, Marshall Orson receiving 41.35% of the vote, and Michelle Longspears receiving 23.98% of the vote. In Georgia, if one candidate doesn't get above 50% of the vote total, a runoff election is automatically held between the two top candidates, meaning Michelle Longspears was cut out of the race. But Michelle Longspears felt odd about the numbers, so she visited different precincts to double-check the tallies. Guess what? She noticed that in some precincts she didn't receive a single vote. But how is that possible that a candidate with 24% of the vote total finds precincts where she didn't receive a single vote? While statistically alarming, the real surprise came when she realized there was not one vote cast for her in her own precinct, the same one where she and her husband voted for herself. Spears immediately demanded a hand recount of the results and got one. On June 1st, the results were released, and the difference between the Dominion machine count and the hand count was shocking. After the hand count, Lauren Alexander gained 355 votes, Orson lost 1,298 votes, and Spears actually gained 3,620 votes, making her the new runoff candidate. And here's the best part. When you add them all up, the hand count shows 2,810 votes more than the Dominion machines reported on the 24th. This is huge. In a small county commissioner's race, with 15,500 votes total, the Dominion machine tally was short by nearly 3,000 votes. What does that say about all the other races that were conducted on these very same machines? This is proof that the machines cannot be trusted. If Spears had not sounded the alarm, no one would have ever known.
And you can look that up. I'm looking at an article from the New York Times. You know, this is facts. It's not conjecture. This is not some video put together that doesn't tell you the truth.
That's what I'm saying. Why aren't they talking about doing, you know, getting rid of the machines if that's what the people want? Or what are they going to do to make our next election
Fair
and correct
and yeah, exactly, fair and accurate. That'd be nice.
Yeah, I'm just asking.
And I don't trust it anymore. I don't trust any of it anymore. So
and people aren't questioning Kathy Darling herself.
Well, Kathy,
necessarily, it's the process of the voting and the election.
If the people in the county want to get rid of these machines, then that should be the way they should go. Because these guys are supposed to be working for us. They're supposed to be our representatives. They're supposed to be, you know, listening to the majority of the people. And even if it's not the majority of the people, if you show that there's fraud, if you show that there's problems with these machines, then there at least should be questions on the results of the
election.
Yeah,
you would think that she would want to show the people that there isn't a problem with the machine so everybody would feel good about our vote.
Or you can ask for a recount and they'll charge you $11,000 a day to do
it. Well,
yeah.
And with that, we got a caller on the line. Good morning, Lori. Are you there?
Yes.
What you got?
Hey there.
Hey.
I'm just checking in with a little miniature field report from yesterday at the Pride Monkeypox Vaccine Clinic held at the Sundial Bridge. I was there yesterday with Robert Exter. We were just filming and covering like we usually do. I think this is probably my 23rd vaccine clinic to track and monitor and follow. Everything was going pretty well when we got there about 3:15, talking to the public health person, the community education specialist, and then it seems like our troll showed up, started doing his thing, and giving me the middle finger, and even the public health person said, hey, this lady's being, meaning me, being harassed by this individual. So anyway, I got to ask only a few questions before we were kind of asked to leave. Apparently, they did 32 monkeypox vaccines. It's a two-parter, in case people don't know. And it's only available for very or more high-risk individuals. They don't have a ton of supply. Anyway, it's this company, if you want to look it up, it's J-Y-N-N-E-O-S, trademarked. It's the CDC. I've got the fact sheet. And I will tell you this, folks, I'm stunned. Finally, I am seeing on some dang paperwork that it says the risks of the vaccine include severe allergic reaction, other serious injury, comma, or death. Finally, there it is on paperwork after we've been complaining and pointing it out and all the rest for over a year. That I think they finally catch on that they cannot just hide this and pretend you're just going to have a sore arm or a little red puffy thing or whatever. So they had 8 or 9 security people there yesterday. Robert Exter's working on the video, and we have got some extremely interesting footage. I'll call it that, even though at some point they were told that they shouldn't talk to us. So First Amendment's gone, freedom of the press gone, but we have got plenty. And we'll be sending that out later. I just want to let people know that the public health is offering these vaccines at their clinics. Now, why in the heck they needed to go public at the Sundial Bridge and poke and jab people in some little corner by the bathroom is beyond me, but I'm told it was a state decision and not our local public health. Whatever. Like, I'm supposed to believe everybody every time I hear something. You know I'm not that gullible. So anyway, I found that very disturbing that we were only asking basic questions. I only wanted to know what was the protocol as far as their handouts. Informed consent must happen or you shut the whole thing down. And I don't think they liked the fact that I wanted to know what date were they having the handouts. Was it the 8/23/22 or something else? And they go, oh, no, you had to sign up ahead of time online or you could do it there. And suddenly we were asked to depart and leave for not doing anything. We didn't confront, assault, swear, nothing. No posters, no signs, just there as media. And I do not know if any other media showed up in closing, whether Channel 7 showed up or the online rag, news frappe, whatever.
news frappe kind of got me.
Because you know I'm done, Mark.
Yep. All well, right. send me copies of that stuff. I'll take a look at it.
I know. I have Robert's still working on it, but you guys will get it soon. I just want to put that in as a field report from yesterday.
Thank well, you. We appreciate that.
All right. Thanks. Nice. Take care, yeah. Guys. Thanks.
Have a great day.
Yes.
Yeah, because
it kind of cracks me up a little bit because you have these movies like I Am Legend, and originally they had a vaccine that was a cure for cancer that ended up causing everybody to end up becoming these zombie-type characters, and it was spreading that way. But, I mean, every time somebody decides that they're going to play God and don't do the research first, it normally doesn't end up working.
Well,
out.
Even if
well
they do
I was going to say, I think they did the research on this one, folks.
It's like Dr. Evil, you know.
Yeah.
Well, we are gods now. The world we have control.
That's the problem.
Okay.
Yeah. So digital dictatorships.
That's right. You'll own nothing and you'll like it.
Well, and here's an interesting one from the Daily Wire as of yesterday's date. So Biden may try to fire World Bank president for not pushing climate policy enough. Possible replacement chimes in on the report. White House officials have considered trying to get rid of the World Bank president, David Malopoulos, fired for not pursuing climate change policies with significant zeal.
These guys are beating their head against the wall. It's like that clip of Jamie Dimon the other day where they're telling, getting on Jamie Dimon about gas and oil, and he's like, shut up, lady.
Well, and pull up, I sent you an email.
We do have another caller. We've got Dave. Good morning, Dave. You there?
Oh, I am.
Hey.
Yeah, you taking a call?
Go ahead,
Dave. What do you got?
Yeah, well, it sounded like you're still hepped up admiring Trump. And have you made up your mind whether he's a criminal or a traitor yet?
Have you got any charges that he's specifically done that he's actually been convicted for or charged with?
Well, all those documents.
Documents? The documents.
Lawyers.
You didn't answer my question. Again, you didn't answer my question. Has he been charged?
I'm answering your question.
No, has he been charged?
You're bothering it.
Has he been charged with anything?
You're dodging it, dude.
You're dodging anything.
The documents were stolen.
You're an idiot.
Is he a thief? Is he a thief?
Go back to the decision with the Clinton papers. Go back to the decision. Cut his mic.
We're done with the call.
See, here's the problem. You get a guy like this who just goes off the deep end. He's an idiot. He doesn't look at the rules. He doesn't look at the facts. Trump doesn't have any constitutional rights. The fact that the president has sole discretion over declassifying all documents by a prior court decision that's never been appealed on the Clintons doesn't mean anything, right? And the weaponization of the FBI doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, it was even previous to that. But what we see right now is exactly what you're saying, the weaponization of the FBI. They took the entirety of his term was what that warrant was for, and it was basically a discovery warrant to see if they could drum up anything.
And they completely circumvented the Fourth Amendment because it's supposed to be specific. They sacked his whole house, completely circumvented all of his constitutional rights under the guise that it was a national security issue and nuclear secrets, only they never come up with anything. And then we find out this week that Danchenko, who the FBI protected as a witness, made up the whole thing about the dossier on the Steele thing, and the FBI took him in as a witness so that they could protect him from being interrogated. So it's like these guys are one-way street.
And I believe that the reason that they did it wasn't to try to find something against him, is they wanted to know
what he had on them.
That he was getting ready to do something with in the future because they are out of control.
All right, let's go to Terry.
All right.
Idiots.
Hello, Terry. Terry, you're on.
Terry.
Hey, Mark, you're awesome, and you're absolutely right. You know, that's the thing. These freaking lefty people that get on there, well, let's see, is Trump a criminal or a really bad criminal, or is he just a really, really bad criminal? Well, what kind of choice is that? They can't even ask a question, and I admire you for even taking that guy's call. I know he calls it our program, and whenever we hear him, you cut him off quick. That was good. We normally have to, too, because, first of all, you ask him a question, he won't answer it.
Right.
And then, second of all, you're making allegations, as you said, against a guy. What charges? Right?
Yeah, right. While I'm reading a Technofog article that on the paperwork filed from Durham, who's saying that the FBI has been subverting the process, the judicial process, by protecting the witnesses that created the dossier to go against Trump in the first place. And these are the same guys that are ransacking his house, but that doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. You know, I mean, the thing is, good job. It was good. You have more patience than I do sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, it's like this morning. We had a good interview with Max Steiner, but I mean, oh, okay, I believe this on the Second Amendment, that you can't have these weapons or that weapons. And
he talks out of both sides of his head.
You can't have that, you need a permit.
Yeah, he talks out of both sides of it. He talks out of both sides of his head.
Yeah,
wow. Yeah, it's like, well, you have
what gave you that clue when you see Democrat by the name?
You have a right to keep and bear arms only when we tell you it's okay.
It's okay, and on top of that, but you know, and also, you know, Roe versus Wade, the federal government can dictate that, and when they do, you know, you have to pay for it, because after all, there's people who are anti-war that have to pay for wars. I mean, what kind of justification is that? Or people pay for roads that, you know, if you pay for these roads, they may not want to pay for the roads, but they have to do it because they're taxed for it. I mean, I was surprised. I was very surprised. I thought that he seems like a nice guy, but man, I was I mean, I just cannot believe the left. First of all, I can't believe some of the things they come out with. I mean, if somebody wants to get an abortion, get an abortion. If a lady wants to get one, get one. Thing is, I don't want to have to pay for it.
Right. And you know what the thing is, though, is that with these guys, what's so frustrating is they do what's called sophistry. Look it up. What it means is they have an argument over something that's completely off the charts that doesn't have any basis in fact, but they make it sound good. So you end up just arguing about the argument, not about what you're talking about in the first place.
Well, I don't like the idea that they try to make me, you know, that I have no options. That it's not up to me what I want to do.
Well, it's like the lawyer.
They have no right to do that.
It's like the attorney asking, well, have you stopped beating your wife
yet? My favorite part, and Wynn was wonderful on this, is the right to an abortion, I mean, just look at the Commerce Clause. What? I mean, what?
Well, yeah, exactly. He tried to, make
it. They've been bastardizing that Commerce Clause ever since I can remember. They use it as an excuse for everything for the federal government to make law in the states.
Unbelievable. So anyway, thanks again, Mark, for doing that. Again, I praise you on your patience. When we drink out of the next scotch bottle together, maybe it'll rub off on me. I don't know.
Nah.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for calling in. We're at just about at the end of the show.
Okay, I think
so
we're there.
So there is one more quick one. 30 Republican senators request Hunter Biden prosecutor to be given special counsel authority. So,
does that surprise you?
Well, hopefully there's something that comes from it, but also by the same token, I don't really have any hope at our current establishment.
No, they're not going to do anything. I mean, that's Dan Bongino's had an FBI whistleblower on all week talking about how the FBI has been compromised, how they've been politicized, you know, about how half the people that work there are ready to leave because they got them running down after militia, you know, MVEs, you know, militia violent extremists, instead of going after pedophiles and child rapists.
Yep, they're pulling them off of child trafficking cases and after off of pedophile cases to put them on white nationalists and extremists.
And they're doing it across the board. But, I mean, they're doing it everywhere.
But we're the lawbreakers. Trump broke the law. What are you going to do about it? Hey, you're avoiding the question. No, you're a freaking moron. You can't talk to a moron because you're arguing with an idiot. And an idiot has nothing but idiot arguments. Anyway.